Well, hello friends. Welcome to Holistic Health Hour. I am Dr. Nusheen Darvish. On today's episode, we are joined by a gracious patient of mine, Mrs. Carmen McKnight, whose symptoms of seizures, chronic pain, tingling, and deep exhaustion led her to a diagnosis of Lyme disease, and more specifically, a diagnosis of neuroborreliosis. Neuroborreliosis is the term for stage 3 neurological Lyme disease. Carmen shares with us her story of overcoming this devastating neurological spirochete infection, a condition that is much more common than one might think. In fact, over 400,000 people are diagnosed with Lyme disease every year in the U.S. alone. Many go on to develop neurological symptoms such as paralysis, migraines, chronic pain, MS-like symptoms, memory loss, Parkinsonian-type symptoms. As we learn from Carmen's story, this disease impacts people on many levels, and the conventional prescription of 10 to 30 days of antibiotic is just not enough. Let's listen to her story to learn how she overcame this neurological disease. As with any Holistic Health Hour podcast episode, the information contained here is intended for informational and educational purposes only and is not intended to make any claims, diagnosis, or treatment suggestions. Please do seek the advice of your personal healthcare provider. Thank you. Well, welcome, Carmen. I am so thrilled and honored to have you here on Holistic Health Hour. And let's start with just having you share with us who you are, and then we'll go on from there.
That sounds good. Thank you so much, Dr. Darvish, for having me to your, on your podcast. It's an honor. It really is. My name is Carmen McKnight. I am a mother of 3 children. I am a licensed massage therapist, and I'm also a writer. And I have been in America. Maybe you might be able to tell by my accent, but I have lived in America for the past 27 years. Originally, I come from Romania. That's where I was born. So
wonderful. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
So share with me or with us your story, your journey. I know we are talking about a very complex illness, tick-borne illnesses, and you are one of those amazing, inspiring women who has inspired me to keep going in with treatment and helping patients. Tell us about your transformation. Tell us about your journey. What happened? What was going on with you? Just the whole deal, if you would.
Perfect. So I just finished massage therapy school. I took the exams, tests, and everything. And then we went to Romania for one of my brother's wedding. Came back, I began work, everything was wonderful. I was so fulfilled and content in with my life and with my clients. It was just beautiful. And then one morning, January 12th, I remember specifically of 2014, I woke up and I felt something was seriously wrong. But it was just that inner gut feeling that something was just wrong. I had flu-like symptoms. So I thought maybe I just really got a bad flu. Working with patients and with clients a lot of the times, you know, you just catch what they have. And I thought, well, maybe I just have a nasty flu. But there was a nagging voice, not voice, more like a gut feeling. This is something different. This is something that I've never experienced before. But I pushed through. I went to work. I looked like a ghost. I looked white as a ghost. I was on autopilot. Everything I did was on autopilot. How I got there to work, it's a miracle, I guess. And my boss at the time, wonderful lady, took a look, one look at me and says, what's wrong with you? Something is seriously wrong. Are you all right? And I said, no, something is wrong. I don't know what's going on. I woke up this morning and I don't feel right. So she sent me home. I don't know how I got back home either. Everything was just autopilot. I went in bed and I could not get out of bed. That was odd. I just pushed through. Everything flu, it's like colds. Just push through. I couldn't do it this time. And I just could not get out of bed. And 5 days later, we end up going to emergency. And to make a long story short, that's where everything started. It was just doctor appointment after doctor appointment after doctor appointment. Then we end up into specialists. Of cardiologist, neurologist, this and that. There were symptoms, it was clear, they were looking at me, they knew something was wrong, took test over test. I went through so many tests. I donated so much blood, I feel like they, owe me back. And there were some things that would come back up into the tests, but most of the time they would come back, you look normal, everything looks normal, we don't know what's wrong. There were some things like blood in the urine that came back up for probably up to 4 to 5 years. Every time I would donate urine or give a urine test, there would be blood back. So they treated me a little bit for this, like UTIs, and it was confusing to the doctors, and I could tell, and they became frustrated, and they kind of suggested that I should go to a psychiatrist because I need attention. I was laughing and I thought, guys, you don't know me. You don't know me. I'm like, if I want attention, I will throw myself a big party, surround myself with families and friends, not come and see doctors and being poked. I'm like, this is not fun. All these tests, that's not the kind of attention if I were, that kind of individual.
So Carmen, besides the flu-like symptoms, what were the other symptoms? The deep exhaustion I hear, flu-like symptoms.
So there were flu-like symptoms, meaning I would have a fever inside, but I was cold on the outside. My face was cold. It turned numb. I started half tingling in the extremities. I was so exhausted, and I'm not exaggerating. My bedroom was on a second level, and our kitchen was on the first level. For me, go down to the kitchen was exhausting. I would have to take 2-3 steps, sit down, and actually just take a rest. Keep going, take a rest. Make a sandwich. I would have to just take a piece of bread, put something on. It gets emotional because I'm going back and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's how bad it was. Put something on, sit down for 20 minutes to rest before I could just finish making myself a sandwich. That's how it was. I lost so much weight, unwanted weight loss, just laying in bed. It was hard, like if you were to talk to me. So these are additional symptoms to the flu-like symptoms. If you talk to me, I would have a hard time processing. I would see people opening their mouth and moving their mouths. And I would be like, what are you trying to say? Because I would have a hard time processing and understanding what people were trying to communicate to me. If I talked back, my short-term memory was gone. You would tell me something, I would not remember within a second. I'm like, I don't remember anything. I would have these shakes, these core shakes inside, especially at night, sweats, confusion, nausea. Nausea was predominant. It was day and night, severe nausea. pain on the left side, which I think is more in the spleen ridge, you know, region. There's so many. It's unbelievable. Fogness. I would, you know, peripheral blindness. I would look at somebody, or I would look at the room, and it was foggy. I'm like, is it me? Is it really foggy in here, or is it just me? My eyelashes, my eyebrows, and my hair began falling. I would just kind of, you know, brush mine, just falling a lot. A bitterness in my mouth, metal kind of bitterness taste in my mouth for months. So anything that I ate, it just was disgusting. I'm like, okay, here's bitter, you know, bitterness again. So these are additional symptoms to flu-like symptoms, which is fatigued, fever, body ache, joint ache, sharp bone stabbing sensation, and generalized just fatigue and yucky feeling, and just something is odd and off. So there's more symptoms. I just didn't write them down, so I can't remember right now, but there, you know, there are more.
So how old were you at this point?
I was in my late 30s.
And how old was your youngest child at that time?
He was 11.
11. So it wasn't like close to menopause, or it wasn't close to postpartum. It was completely out of the hormonal picture, but it sounds like it impacted you at many different systems, the neurological system, the emotional system, the musculoskeletal system, the gut system. Exactly. It just seems like it was affecting you in many, many different systems. And mm-hmm. this is one of the concerns that we have with patients with complex illness, is that these tick-borne infections do impact people on many different systems. It's not just the muscles or the brain or the hormones or the digestion. It's crosses and interferes with a lot of different systems. And obviously you experienced that.
Exactly, because I was bleeding, period one, you know, like for 2 months straight, heavy. And I thought, what is going on? I became anemic because of that. And I went in, and the doctors were like, taking based on the blood test, I looked like I was in premenopause, but I was 35 or 36. And I'm like, they're like, okay, that's really early for you to go into this stage. And I thought, oh my gosh, is this menopause? Because it's horrible. But it wasn't. And I was naive about Lyme. First of all, I never heard about Lyme disease up to that point. And well, until I got diagnosed, which was 8 months later. So I kept going on and on and on. And at this point, I realized at one point, about 5 to 6 months in the Western medicine treatment, I realized they don't know what's wrong with me. I need to broaden my search. I need to look further. And I began looking into naturopaths. And I remember Dr. Vitalis, which is in Seattle, you know, started with her, and she put me on different supplementations, which it helped me get feel a little bit better. But when I say feel a little bit better, at that time I thought, oh my gosh, I'm feeling so much better. It was almost like 10% better. But to me, 10% better was so wonderful. Only to go right back. It will last for a little bit, and then I would go right back. So I kept pushing. I kept pushing, because I wake up one day and from the neck down, I've never experienced this before. I had a very bad rash. I mean, I was nearly red from the neck down overnight. And I thought, what in the world is going on? So I go in and I'm like, look, I'm not making this stuff up. And they were frustrated. I could tell on their faces. They're just like, yeah, you're not making, there's the symptoms are right there in front of our eyes and we don't know what's going on. So I kept going back. And then a friend told me, said, Carmen, you have the symptoms of Lyme disease of, there was a very famous, which I'm sorry, I forgot her name, but it was the show, The Real Housewives show. And she's, I just know she's blonde and I think it's Yolanda something. And she's like, she has Lyme disease. Maybe you have Lyme disease. And I thought, okay, well, what is Lyme disease? So I went back to the doctor and I said, could you please test me for Lyme disease? Which I was surprised that I got a little bit of, why would I test you for Lyme disease? You live in Pacific Northwest and there's no ticks in Pacific Northwest. And I'm like, really? There's like, you're saying there's no forest in Pacific Northwest. Like, and I told her, said, well, I did go to Romania in this, you know, summer, the previous summer. And so she gave me a test and called me at home on a Sunday and said, your test is for Lyme disease is positive. And time for treatment, which is doxycycline for, I believe it was 10 days.
Which is an antibiotic.
Which is an antibiotic.
And it's the routine therapy treatment, initial treatment for Lyme disease from a conventional perspective, yes.
Exactly. And I thought in my naive mind, I didn't know anything about Lyme disease. I thought, fantastic. By now I lost my job because I was no longer able to... I was living in bed. At this point, I've been living in bed for months and months and months. I lost my job. And I thought, fantastic. This will cure me. I'll go back to my life and I'll just put this past 8 months in the past. Everything will be fine. I had no clue what I was getting into because those doxycycline, the antibiotic treatment, caused Herx reactions, which I had no idea what they were. And they are horrible. And it's almost like that treatment, it just went boom. From that point on, I had seizures. I couldn't walk in a straight line if I wanted to. It was bad. I'm gonna try not to cry. It was bad. And I knew I was dying. I just didn't know why. I mean, I guess it was Lyme. I just didn't think Lyme was that bad, but it was.
And this was after 10 days of doxycycline?
Doxycycline, yes. So on the seventh day, I started to see an improvement because I was able to go out with our friends to celebrate. Finally, I'm getting better. So we went out to a restaurant and we celebrated. And then the very next day I was in the emergency. And from that point on, I couldn't walk straight.
You were in the emergency because of the seizures?
Because of the Herx reaction, looking back. And I, half of my face was paralyzed. It just kind of drooped. I couldn't focus. I couldn't follow instructions. I would go in and out of consciousness. They were asking me, you know, follow.
Very scary.
That is very, very scary. And
it must have been, you know, scary for your husband and your kids too, to see you this way.
It was very scary because my 11-year-old was at home with me. Everybody was gone, school, work, and he was at home with me. And he saw me like that. And I had enough strength to go tell him, go around to our neighbor and tell him to come because I need help. And I knew, you know, he'll know what to do. Sure enough, they called 911 and another neighbor who's ended up being a very fantastic friend, Elizabeth, who brought me to every single appointment into your clinic, came. And from that point on, we knew we had to look into, Western medicine was not helping me, unfortunately. They wanted to, it was a frustration, and I think it was just the lack of knowledge about what is this disease and why is it so complicated. So then I began looking into naturopaths specializing on Lyme disease. and I started with Dr. Susan Mara, and I just realized she was not my fit. And then through some events that is just unbelievable, I came to you. And I remember the first time that we met, and I've heard this over and over. You're one of those special cases. We're sorry, you're too advanced, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, I don't want to be special. I just want to be normal. That's all. And when I saw you, you know, you were honest and you said, yeah, this is going to be, you know, a long road, but there's hope. That's all I needed. I needed somebody to believe in me. And as soon as you said that, I'm like, you're my doctor. Let's do this. And then after that, I mean, I was once a week in IVs for 2 years, even though I should have been twice a week in IVs for 2 years. But financially, because the insurance does not cover almost all of the Lyme disease treatments, I did what I could financially. So I came and to your clinic and saw you pretty much once a week for 2 years.
And what kind of treatments did you do? What kind of IV therapies are you talking about?
So we've done glutathione, which my body responded really well. Even now when I speak the word, my body's like, I want some type of thing. It responded really, really well to that. And it was both IV and at times a PC push. I've done a CoQ10 shots. I've done Myers IV. I have done diabetic trace minerals IV. I have done the biooxidative therapy ozone combo IV. My body didn't like that. So we stopped because I came back and I was talking to him like, yeah, it doesn't like this. So then we stopped and we kept, because I know you worked so well with me, because my body sometimes would even react to the things that other patients responded well. I didn't respond that well. I was like, no. So you did such a wonderful job just always working with me and seeing why is not responding well. What else does it need now? Okay, we'll stop this for a period of time. We'll introduce this other, you know, treatment and see how this, you know, how your body responds to this. And so it's constantly both, you know, we're working together and you're working with me. And I loved that. And because I could tell it was personalized for my body. And just because you worked certain treatment or IV worked really well for somebody else, it didn't mean the same for me at times. So we stopped and then we refocused on, okay, what is going to work? And another thing was, and I'm going to not spell, I mean, artesunate. IV, hydrogen peroxide IV, on top of all the supplements that I've taken, which the list is long, and I remember chlorella and a cilantro tincture, ABART, and lots more. So it's a combination of both IV and supplements. And then I end up going into also more of I know you also have recommended for me to remove my mercury fillings, which half of my mouth was full of the mercury fillings. Why was that? I grew up, like I said, in Romania, and when Chernobyl happened, I was there. Within 6 months, my teeth started decaying big time, not just mine, all my brothers, all my siblings, all my cousins, everybody I've known, their teeth started to decay really, really bad. So when I came to America, I had extensive dental work. Well, at the time, back in 1993, the amalgam fillings were full of mercuries. And I had no idea that that was also an issue. So on your recommendation, I went and saw a specialist, a dentist who specializes on mercury removal in a natural kind of way. And the very first mercury, but in order for me to even have the dental work, I had to get my immune system strong. I was too weak to even have the dental work for 2 years, two to three years. So we worked intensely on the IVs and supplements together, and it got my immune system stronger and stronger in order to be able to withstand the work that the dental, work it required. So then, and this was in 2017, I started dental work and started removing the mercury fillings. And within 20 minutes of the very first mercury filling removed, I felt as if something in my brain, and I'm gonna interrupt a little bit here because I always told my husband, I feel like there's a Michelangelo inside of me and a Simpson comes out. I just felt like there was so much more deeper things inside of me, and all that it came out is just stupid simple talk. I just couldn't get that out, and I didn't know why. The first filling got removed within 20 minutes. I honest to goodness felt as if there was air going through my brain. Like suddenly my brain was breathing. And I'm gonna try not to cry. And then we went to, because my husband would pick me up. I could not drive myself anywhere at this point because of the peripheral blindness. And so he drove me and picked me up, and we went to, right afterwards, we went to a park, and my son was with me, my daughter was with me, and he said something like, "Catch me, Dad," or something like that. And I started running after him. And it was an instinctual thing that I didn't think about it. And I turn right back and I look at my husband and my daughter, who she was more, like 18, 19. And both of their mouths are like this. And I was like, "What?" And they're like, "You ran." And I realized, oh my gosh, I did. And this is within 20 minutes after I left the doctor, after the first removal of my first dental, what's it called? The filling.
Yeah.
And I had half of my mouth was full. So I've had extensive, quite a bit of work. So what we would do is I would have some dental work, and then I would have to have IV done to get my body back strong again, because you would weaken and it would go again through seizures and things like that. And then I would go back to the dentist, remove some more, and go back to IV, get my body strong enough to be able to do that. But one thing that we did mention a little bit earlier is I hated poetry. I mean, and it was not good at it. And after I removed, I think it was the first or the second one. I know the first one was the energy. I just could see. My brain started always rhyming. Everything was rhyming, but it started in Romanian, my native language first. And then it went into English. Everything I could think of, it was just rhyme after rhyme after rhyme after rhyme. And I was thinking more in a rhyme poetry type of way. And I thought, well, this is odd. I've been horrible at poetry before and I never liked poetry. And now it just came out. It just came out whether I want it or not. And I thought, well, maybe I should write some of these things down. So I started writing some of these things down. And kept going. I kept doing the dental IV, and I just kept writing and writing and writing. And the better I got, the more I could tell that I was able to express in writing all these frustrations that I have felt inside of me for this entire amount of battle time, which it became, I was able to express them better and better, or before I could not express them. Even though I felt them deeply, I could not express them. So that was amazing. In my book, I'm like, oh my gosh. And realize the connection of, I never thought dental, you know, fillers of, you know, mercury kind would be that damaging. But they are. They really
the metals. Are. Yeah. So the metals in the mouth often do interfere with the nervous system and the immune system, and the list goes on. And they can cause very impactful symptoms in the body.
Yes.
Systemically, right? So in other words, if you've got a metal in your mouth, it can cause you to have seizures. It can cause to have hormonal imbalances. It can cause to have digestive issues. The problem is that silver fillings are very volatile. The mercury is very volatile. So every time we chew or we drink some hot liquid, that the metal gets released, and then it travels to the nervous system or to other tissues in the body that can be damaged. And yes. Mercury especially is very strong in the way it damages the body, because it goes into the cells and it damages its own exit route. So in other words, the door that is available for the mercury to get out of the cell gets damaged, and the mercury gets locked into the cells. And as a result, then you can have these neurological symptoms, hormonal symptoms, emotional symptoms, digestive, and so forth. So it is not only important to remove the source, which often can be in the mouth, it can also be from food like tuna, fish, and certain childhood vaccinations in the past did have these metals, these form of mercury in them. Now, some of the flu vaccines have the mercury in them. Anyhow, it's not only important to remove the source, but also to help the body remove the toxins, the mercury that's been locked in. And it's a slow process. We can't do that too quickly. Otherwise, we make the risk of damaging the kidneys.
Yes. So, and that's, yeah. And I really, you're right on. It is a slow process, which, and right now I'm thinking about all the other people that are suffering, whether it's from acute Lyme, chronic Lyme, or any other autoimmune diseases. I'm honest to goodness thinking about them and thinking it is a slow process to heal, and you really have to fight for your well-being, but it's doable. It can happen. So it's like fight for your life, because there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but you have to be aware. And I was told this and I ignored it. And I'm like, no, that's not going to happen to me. I was told that this was going to be a long process, and I'm impatient. So I'm like, maybe for you, but not for me. It's a long process, you know, it's a long process meaning it takes years, and it takes perseverance, and it takes the will to fight. It really does take the will to fight and to be able to do whatever necessary for one individual to get better. The support, the emotional support is really, really important. It was so important to me because I went through severe depression, through mood swings. And I mean, in a way where I've never had those before. And I thought, what is going on? I'm not like this, you know, socially. The bigger parties, I was like, that's where I want to be. that changed. I had anxiety going in the world, and anywhere there was crowds, sound sensitivity, light sensitivity, noise sensitivity. Oh my gosh, the noise sensitivity was sometimes, if I get fatigued now and all that, I can start to see it, you know, reach, and I'm like, okay, I really need to pay attention to myself. Or maybe I'm doing too much. I need to back up, because the noise sensitivity is quite huge. I couldn't watch, I could not watch any movies that had any sorts of violence. I would react so utterly dramatic. I was so surprised. I couldn't do it. I couldn't sit and be around anything that was portraying violence. I was like, no, this is, I would start seizuring, and I would start, you know, not feeling well. So there is a connection. Yes.
Yeah, there's definitely a connection. So it's been what, 6 or 7 years since your initial symptoms began?
I would say full 7 years. We're going, this is the 8th year, but this is
and
the
where
first.
Where are we at? Where are you at?
Well, I used to be in emergency rooms like 2 to 3 times or sometimes 4 times a year, and not once this year. I'm like, keep it that way. Seizures multiple times a day. I don't remember the last time I had a seizure. It's probably, you know, 4 months, but that's because my mother passed away in February. So that was an emotional heartbreak. And then 2 months later, my grandmother passed. And then 2 months later, one of our pet passed. So we've been going through some things, but at the same time, I can tell I withstand things. I can take things. I'm stronger. I don't have, you know, seizures and stuff like that. I'm still in the fight. I'm still, you know, not where I guess I would say, okay, I'm 100% better. I feel better, and so on and so forth. But I'm not dead, and I'm not dying. I don't have that feeling of, I think this is my last breath, which for, I would say, 2 to 3 years, I had that feeling almost every day. I didn't know if I was going to wake up. Then I found out I had not just Lyme, it went chronic, it went neurological. Now I had co-infections like Babesia, which was, I had air hunger so severe. I would try to take deep breaths, and the lungs looked fine. When I went to the Western medicine, the lungs looked fine, and I felt like I don't have enough air, and I would scratch my throat because I felt like I didn't have enough air coming into my lungs. To find out that's Babesia duncani, co-infections to it. And then diagnosed to Bartonella, then mycoplasma, I wrote them down, mold, mitochondrial disorder, potassium, magnesium decrease, increased pH levels, increased chloride, my lower body lymph system was blocked. My ANS dysfunction I was only operating in the sympathetic, response, not the,
parasympathetic.
Not parasympathetic. Mm-hmm. And that's when we started the shots. That was the first treatment I would have along the spine and in the adrenal glands to be able to calm me down. And it works so amazing. I would ask my husband, I'm like, is this normal not just to chill? And he's like, yeah, I do that all the time. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, just to chill? So, yeah, that's normal, Carmen. I'm like, no, I don't think you understand me. Like, not to care about anything and not to be worried. And it's like, yeah, that's normal. I've never experienced that. And looking back, I think I've had Lyme around the age of 12 to 14. Something happened where I was in almost like a comatose. I wouldn't say coma state because I was never taken to the doctor and diagnosed. I would never say that, but I was unconscious for 3 days, and it started with a very high fever. And after that, I was always easy. I would faint easily, moody and irritable. Another thing that was an issue is temperature-wise. When it's hot outside, my body has a hard time regulating that. And it's better right now. But I would pass out really easily from any time it was hot. My body would just didn't have that ability a healthy person has to regulate through sweat, you know, to cool your body down. I didn't have that. I actually didn't sweat. So that's another issue. And that's one thing that I'm working with right now, because I'm still having a hard time sweating. And I know that's a way to release toxins out of it. I take a lot of chlorella to remove those toxins, but I'm like, come on, sweat. And I don't really sweat that easily.
So, you know, age 12, if you started getting sick at age 12, there's a good chance that was probably maybe even the second or the third time you might have been bitten by a mosquito or a tick and picked up some of these infections. And then 7-8 years ago, when you went to Romania again for a visit, that the possibility is that you picked up another bug bite, and that was kind of the final straw for your system. Your nervous system could not handle any extra insults anymore. And so that's where you went into the sudden illness that you did, that has taken a very slow process of recovery. But this is amazing, because you are on the road to being much, much better, even maybe better than you were before the age of 12.
Yes.
Along with that, you and your husband are putting a documentary together to educate people, to make the public more aware of this chronic silent epidemic that majority of the world around us is not aware, and yet they are fighting these chronic symptoms that are erratic, that are different for each individual, that affect each individually different body systems, and can at times be extremely debilitating. And so tell us about this documentary you're putting together.
Yes, so we're putting together, we're in the process of filming, and in fact, we had a wonderful interview a few weeks ago together with you, Dr. Darvish, which I'm so grateful. But it's called Beating Lyme, and we're putting a documentary together. And we are coming, my husband and I are coming, I think, from a different angle. We're looking at more of how important this is, not just a physical fight, but this is a community fight. You know, it really, it's very, very, very important for the person that fights Lyme disease to have a support system. It's really important for everybody around them to understand, even though maybe from the outside they may look all right, because I lost so much weight and I had a glow. I really did. I looked in the mirror and I thought, oh my gosh, Lyme has a glow. But I had like a glow, and everybody's like, well, you look so good. And I thought, oh my gosh, if you just knew inside, if I could just touch you and transfer and just for a fraction of a second, felt what I feel every single day, you would understand some things. And I thought, well, okay, good. I'm glad that I have one thing going on. I look good on the outside, but on the inside, I was fighting so hard. So for us, we're trying to let everybody know that family communities around people that are fighting chronic Lyme disease or any other chronic or autoimmune diseases, they are more important than they give themselves credit for. The support system, this is not just the physical, it manifests physically, but there's also, you need to heal emotionally from whatever traumas. You need to spiritually kind of get in line as well. It's it's a package deal, and you said it. I'm gonna let you say it better. It's the saying of it takes a village to raise a child, but go ahead.
Yeah, it takes a whole village to heal a patient. Yeah, it takes a whole village to heal a patient. And it does, you're absolutely right. That it does take a whole community of family and friends and providers and healthcare providers that provide you not only with the tools that you need, but bring together that love and that hope that is so vital to help push you forward, to help support you in your perseverance.
Exactly.
And your dedication and your patience, right?
Yes.
And so it does take a whole village to raise, to heal a patient.
Yes, because I've noticed that medicine did a wonderful, the right kind of medicine, did a wonderful, it was wonderful for the body, but I needed a support system because I lost hope all the time. You get so fatigued of fighting this. You get so fatigued of the pain. I remember 2 weeks in intensive pain, and I told my husband, I think I'm going to lose my mind because it's this intense pain constantly is just exhausting, both physically, but mentally and neurological on every level. It just exhausts you. And that's when it was so important when my husband was just, oh my gosh, the best. And then I had my friend Elizabeth and my kids and my brothers and sisters, which they were across on the other side, but they would text on the other side of the world. They were back in Europe, but they would encourage me via media and friends. There were, on the other side of the world too. And via media, they would encourage me. And that just meant for me a lot of times, another day that gives me the strength to fight another day. And and it really did. And just, you can't look long-term anymore because the attention span is so short. I literally lived this moment. I can only think about the next second. And so I couldn't do long-term plans or anything like that. I'm like, that's just, unrealistic for people who are fighting chronic Lyme disease. You're socially unstable. You can't make plans with your friends because you have to constantly break those plans. And then it's, so that's socially, it does affect you socially too.
Of course. Well, thank you so much, Carmen, for sharing your story and working so hard to get this message out through your poetry, your book that's available online on Kindle. And what is it called?
It's Lyme. just let me look down for a second. I can't believe it's Lyme Stew Time. It's a poetry book. In the poetry book, the first part it's before I had treatment, and you can see the childlike bad poetry, I call it. And then the second part is after I had treatment, but as I got better too, that the poetry got more expressive, I would say. It is a lot of pain. So it's, for the people that go through this, because it was written during that time of a lot of pain, a lot of frustration, a lot of just sometimes getting tired of constantly thinking, is there an end to this? Is there an end to this? And all I have to say is, yes, there is. It's just really hard to see it when you're in the midst of the battle. And that's why I really, coming out, that's why I want to let know the people that are in the midst of the battle. I'm like, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. One day you'll be out too, but you really do have to fight for your health. That's one thing that you really do have to, you can't be passive and hope to get better. You have to fight for your health.
Well, thank you again, Carmen. You are a complete inspiration to me, and I'm sure to so many around you,
to transform your life and the lives of so many around you. I'm sure your husband, your children, your friends, neighbors, us here at Holistique, we all have been impacted in such a positive way by your journey. And I hope that more people out there hear the story of yours, that they do not give up hope, that they always keep their hope, that they do seek out providers and healthcare community that will support them to look beyond the conventional boxes of diagnosis, that go beyond the box and look out of the box for diagnoses and therapies that have potential ways of helping you become a better you. So thank you so much for sharing your story, Carmen. I look forward to seeing the finished documentary, Beating Line.
Me too. And thank you so much, first of all, for believing in me and working with me, because honest to goodness, I brag to everybody, Dr. Darvish got me better. And to me, it's not a doubt at all. So your knowledge, your team's knowledge, because I had, you know, you have wonderful nurses and other doctors, we, you know, working constantly together. And I was able to see improvements. Sure, you know, we all want the magic pill. Just give me one pill and I'll get better and I'll move on, all that. But you don't learn the things that you do learn in the process. And I've learned amazing lessons that just make me a stronger person today. So thank you for being my partner in healing and getting me across the valley of darkness, I call it, and to the other side.
Thank you. Thank you for honoring me with being part of that journey of healing of yours. So thank you so much. I look forward to seeing that Beating Line documentary soon. I am so grateful to you listeners for joining us today on Holistique Health Hour. Holistique Health Hour is a community service project sponsored by Holistique Naturopathic Medical Center here in Bellevue, Washington. We have made previous podcasts and blogs related to various topics on integrative health and medicine available on drdarvish.com. That's drdarvish.com. To learn more about medical and well-being services offered at Holistique, please visit holistique.com, holistique.com. In honor of your health, this is Dr. Darvish signing off. Until next time.